This is Anderson Penn's podcast, episode 21 for Sunday, October 14th, 2012. This is Brian.
This is Lisa.
This is the Anderson Penn's radio network. Welcome.
When I don't do it, you wait for it.
For those who don't know, every time I say welcome, Lisa usually just says thank you. Something. She always tries to throw me off.
I just think we should start with a smile.
When we sat down and tried to come up with a couple of topics for today's podcast, this went back a couple of days because I couldn't come up with anything interesting. I decided to throw it out to the Facebook community, and within minutes, we had all sorts of interesting suggestions.
Oh yeah.
So let's just call this, this edition of the podcast, the Viewer's Choice edition. And some of these, we will probably use in some future podcasts, but, we had some pretty good ideas. So, a pretty long list. So I guess we'll just get cooking on this, among them. And, at top of the news today, of course, Felix Baumgartner, jumping from 127,000 feet.
It was over 24 miles.
24 and a half miles up.
Out of a perfectly good safe capsule. What the heck was he thinking? Geronimo!
In fact, this was the first question that came up, was what pen should Felix Baumgartner use, or should he just stick with a pencil?
Well, my first question is, what's he doing, sending his mom a postcard on the way down? I mean, it took him, less than 10 minutes?
Yeah.
I don't know. Don't they make those, what are they, Fisher space pens, where they're supposed to write in zero gravity or upside down or something?
Yeah, I don't actually have one of those, but I think I used to have one at one point, but...
Christmas is coming.
It's okay. You know, no, I'll find something.
I think that'd be a great Christmas present.
Great Christmas gift for somebody.
No ballpoint for you?
No ballpoint for me. But it is a little known fact that Esterbrook, an Esterbrook pen made its way to the top of Mount Everest, which, while not 127,000 feet, 29,029 feet, or at least that's what Google tells me. Now, this was actually not this very pen, but this particular model, the Esterbrook ballpoint model FJ, and apparently it worked just fine at the top of Mount Everest at that altitude. So,
well, it's because it's an Esterbrook. It's going to work just fine 29,000 feet under the sea as well. I think that's the next thing. 127,000 feet under the ocean. Go, Felix.
Yeah, so if you didn't catch the jump, it's really was outrageous. Just very cool.
I'm still just stunned. I can't imagine being his mother watching him just free fall to Earth.
Yep.
At what, 700 and something miles and almost 800 miles an hour? Yep. I'm sorry. I don't think the body should...
Anyway, so Felix shouldn't be writing anything.
No.
Another suggestion we had was for calligraphy books. Which books should we be looking into to learn some better calligraphy?
Which actually was perfect timing. I was just thinking about this the other day. I'm a college professor, and I scribble all over my students' papers, and I hate my scrawly writing. And I've thought about getting a couple calligraphy books, and I want to spend maybe the winter break improving my handwriting. But since the question came up, now I feel inspired to do some research. You get pens when we do research. I'll buy some books.
Awesome.
We do have one book that you bought from Conkey's a long time ago.
Yep.
A local bookstore that went out of business.
It's called Learn Calligraphy by Margaret Shepherd, The Complete Book of Lettering and Design.
Well, she's one of the better known names in the industry, so I may have to try that first.
You might have to learn how to use a flexible nib.
I don't think so. No, not gonna happen. But I'll look at your book first, and after that, we'll see.
It looks like a pretty good book. I've had it for a while. I just haven't had a chance to sit down and, you know, it does take a commitment of time to go through it and to learn it. So just like anything else. So if any of the listeners out there have a preference or favorite calligraphy book, we'd sure love to hear about it. Let us know, Facebook or Twitter or what have you.
Yep, absolutely.
Send us a letter, email, whatever. It'd be good to know what other options there are available. I think the library had a couple, but
yep, we'll check those out as well.
Yep. Another topic, which is near and dear to my heart, surviving a pen show.
Which part is near and dear, the pen show or the surviving part?
Both. I love going to pen shows. It is, you know, so.
Right. I think it's a great idea. Columbus, the Columbus Pen Show is coming up in, 3 weeks?
Yeah, a little over 3 weeks now.
Oh. oh, no. So I think as we get closer to Columbus, that's a perfect topic. Besides comfortable shoes and lots of cash, there is a method to the madness.
There is, and a couple of secrets too, and we'll hold on to those until the time is right,
and then we'll share them with you.
Oh yeah, another one of the interesting topics that came up was from a good friend of ours, Antonios. He asked, "What is missing from your Esterbrook collection?"
There should be nothing missing from our collection.
Oh, there is. Trust me, there is.
Oh no.
And just proof that we did find something in Dallas that we didn't have.
We did?
Yeah, yeah. The yellow clipless pastel.
Oh, that's right.
From Mike, which actually he told us about in Little Rock, and I didn't believe him at the time.
You're calling one of our friends a liar?
No. I hadn't seen it ever. So,
So what's missing from our collection?
There are a couple of noticeable items that are missing. Top of the list. Well, there are two items that are top of the list. One of them is in 1938, Esterbrook made a pair of mechanical pencils. One of them was Sterling, which happens to be this guy here. And yes, that is the original cardboard tag on the clip. And this pen in 1938 sold for $3, by the way.
Ooh, an expensive one.
And their top-end pen was $1.50. So this is twice the price of their top-end pen. They made a version of this pencil that was gold-filled.
So that was probably like $5.
Well, the Sterling was probably more expensive than the more expensive of the two. Okay. I don't know what the price is, but these days I have seen maybe two of the gold-filled pencils, but I've never been able to see one that was really available for sale. So there is that. The other item that is incredibly high on the list is the Esterbrook Duograph. And if you don't know what that is, I'm not surprised. It is the... I don't have a date on it actually handy. I think I do, but Esterbrook made a combo. It's a hard rubber fountain pen, mechanical pencil. It was an eyedropper with a 14-karat nib, and the end of the pencil unit actually just pulls out, and then you can flip it around and put it back into the barrel so you can protect the lead.
That's cool.
Yeah, I have not seen one. I have a vintage ad for it. It had a patent pending clip on it, but I'm on the lookout for that. There is also another eyedropper that was made by De La Rue called the Gold Relief. I have one of them, but it is a version with sterling caps on it and bands on it. So I would like the plain version. There's a Relief number 7, which is a piston filler. Very hard to find. A couple of twist fillers yet to fill out the collection.
Working or non-working?
Don't care. Copper and green are the two that I'm looking for.
We have a green, don't we?
We do have a green. In fact, actually, there's a blog post where I show the green, but it's so discolored, or not discolored, but it's crystallized.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just really, really a mess. There's apparently a demonstrator in an LGA version, and of course, some clipless pastels to round out the bunch. But other than that, I'm probably missing something, but
it's a pretty complete collection.
Yeah, it's pretty complete. So yeah. Another topic, loaning a pen to someone.
Oh, so tips, tricks, and how to get it back.
First thing is don't loan a pen.
Yeah. Never a lender or a borrower be.
Yeah, something like that.
Something like that.
So what's the first thing you want to do?
Don't do it.
Well, yeah, if you have to, you might want to uncap the pen for them and
absolutely
hang on to the cap, because now if I just give you this, they're not going to know what the heck to do with it after they're done. You know, they can't forget to give it back to you, and they can't walk away because, you know, they can't put it in their pocket.
Right.
The other thing that this is good for, by taking the cap off for them, and this is an excellent point, is you don't risk that the person attempts to pull the cap off if it's a twist cap.
Yeah, that's bad. Broken threads equal sad pen person. Especially
or dead pen person.
Or what?
Or dead pen person.
You should also have the person write on a flat surface, not, you know, on a piece of paper in their hand or something. And if it's someone who's a newbie, like you're lending your pen to an interested friend who's maybe never tried a fountain pen, make sure to watch how they hold the pen and how they write with it. Everyone holds pens differently or angles the pen to the paper, but try to keep an eye out for gentle ways to improve the writing experience, and see how they write, and maybe you can, you know, make it a good experience for them the first time out. If they have to struggle, they're never going to be interested.
Right. You know, when your friend oohs and ahs over the pen, make sure to get it back. You know, and if they're interested, offer to help find one of them for their own, or invite them to a local pen club meeting if you have one, or a pen show, to help spread the madness.
There you go.
We also had another suggestion: going to a local pen club.
That one I think we're going to save for another episode. We've gone to couple little club meetings here and there over the course of our collecting eras, but it seems like more and more local pen clubs are creeping up, and sometimes a little 3-4 person meeting eventually 5-6 years down the road turns into a pen show. That's how a lot of the pen shows started.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So,
and maybe we'll have an Appleton pen show sometime.
Oh, that'd be awesome.
That'd be the best drive ever.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're going away for the pen show, kids. Where are you going to be? 5 minutes down the road. Okay.
Yeah. Less than a mile.
So we'll expand on that, I guess, a little more in the future.
Yep.
Another topic, giving an inexpensive pen to someone. I guess there is one small trick to this, at least in our opinion. You don't want to give anything that's too cheap. Because if it doesn't write well or writes inconsistently, then you might blow the chance to convert a newbie. On the other hand, you don't want to spend a lot either. I mean, don't give them, you know, don't hand them a $200 pen. But
especially first time out.
Yeah.
We often suggest, like it shows, the Platinum Preppy. It's the pen that the PCA gives often to the Pens for Kids program, and for $4, it's a good little writer.
Yeah, it's phenomenal. Really, really a phenomenal pen. I mean, I'm almost embarrassed to admit it, but it's a good pen.
It's a good little writer, and you know, the Preppy itself is a pretty cheap looking plastic pen, so it doesn't. You really don't mind if you throw it on your desk or whatever, but if you don't like the cheap looking plastic, upgrade to a Plaser, has the same nib, so it writes the same, but it's a better looking metal body. And recently we had We've sold a number of the Monteverdi Artista crystals. We sold one to a friend of ours who was going away to college and wanted to get something for her new roommate. Not very expensive, but writes really well. And also uses a cartridge or a converter like the Platinum Preppy and the Plaser. That way you don't have to confuse the newbie with bottled ink and lever fillers or pistons or that really crazy snorkel.
Don't give a newbie a snorkel.
No.
Ever. Never, ever. Or a vacuumatic for that matter. I don't think a vacuumatic should be a first pen person's pen.
Yeah, I can't figure the snorkel out. I get it extended and I can't get it back in. I confess.
All right. There's a bad joke in there somewhere. I don't know.
It's a family-friendly show. Thank you.
We also had a suggestion update on the pen room. We are still moving in, organizing, reorganizing. We do have a lot of pics. Actually, most of them are on my personal Facebook page. If you're not a friend, go ahead and friend me. That's where you're going to see most of the pictures. But I didn't want to throw. I mean, we must have
hundreds.
Know. Wow, we don't have hundreds, but not in the basement. 30, 40? We have a lot. Even going back a couple of years, what it used to look like. But
scary.
Yeah, if you want to see more pictures than what I've thrown up on the Anderson Pens page, just go ahead and send me a Facebook request, and you can take a look. They're pretty fun to look at. So.
Yep. Yesterday, I moved a whole bunch of stuff into the pen room, and today I'll be moving them out to make better use of the space and better use of the printer room. Sometimes you got to try things and see if it works. We'll keep you posted. We did take two comfy chairs and a table from my office that used to be behind me. We moved those downstairs, and now my office feels much bigger, and we are super comfy downstairs.
Oh my, I just love it down there. Go down, and you know, we've got the laptop down there, and we do everything we need, and the cat loves it down there, or at least Brooke does. You know, in fact, last night we had to check to make sure. I think we locked her down there for a couple hours, and then you got up.
I went to go get Lindsay.
At some crazy hour, and she was still in the same place.
Yep.
As she was.
Yeah, we have a litter box, so it's fine. But yeah, she was just still sitting there on your footstool in the dark, just comfy, cozy as could be.
Where are they? Are they coming back?
They're always here. So let's see. We're still waiting on Carpenter Joe to bring over four more bookcases because we need the space.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
So hopefully next week, maybe?
I hope so.
Okay, that would be nice. We get some of that other stuff. Yep. Stuff in there. Those are kind of a lot of the topics that we got, and you know, keep them coming.
Absolutely.
That was you know, some things that we hadn't even thought of. So you know, we want to talk about what you want to hear. So what we did also this week, we had a good friend of ours had recently bought a pen from us, and he was so excited with his brand new pen. And he took it to work to show another friend of ours who's also a pen collector his new pen, and it's the Monteverdi Black Tie, which has a chrome cap, and it has a really cool, the barrel's got this like black and white carbon fiber weave on it. It's very, very cool, and he makes it through pretty much the entire day, and at the end of the day it slips out of his pocket. The cap comes off. And the nib takes the brunt of the damage.
Point down.
Point down. So I'm going to show you a picture here real quick of what this poor thing looks like.
It was scary.
Yeah. And this is like day two. I mean, he had it.
He bought it what? On the weekend? He bought it on
Sunday.
It was Monday or Tuesday?
It was on Monday, yeah.
Yeah.
And so here's the nib, and if you can see this here,
it was tip, sad.
It's bent completely straight down. just crazy. And I guess when he dropped it off and I saw it, and I was expecting it to be bent the other way, I said, well, you know, this isn't all that bad. It could be worse. And
not to him.
Well, no, not to him. But, you know, from our perspective, that could have been a lot worse. The tines were actually, they bent together.
Yep.
You know, they didn't cross, or they didn't separate. Do anything. So, fortunately, after some time on the nib block, I was able to get it straight, and we got it back up and riding, and hopefully, you know, he was pretty happy with it when he picked it up the other day. So, we'll
cross your fingers.
Cross your fingers that it doesn't happen again. So, but. So,
hang on to it.
Yep. Around the web this week, we if you were checking out FP Geeks, I had a nice article. At least I thought it was nice on.
I thought it was nice
on matchstick and coin fillers, and special props out there to Lisa for going to the grocery store and buying some matchsticks.
Yeah, you can't buy, it's sort of like potato chips. You can't buy just one. I think I had to get 10 boxes of like 50 each for 89 cents. So well, I consider it a worthwhile investment.
Well, I think it's a business expense. But all I needed was one wooden match.
I don't know anybody who uses wooden matches. And you know, the only other thing would be like the huge, huge long ones you have for like lighting fireplaces or.
Yeah.
Something, but no, it's, you know, we live in Wisconsin. You never know when the power is going to go out. We need matches anyway.
Yeah, we'll use them, but I thought that was kind of funny. And also, this week, Julie Okami had a nice article on our paper on her website. So, I don't know, I don't have that exact website, but it's okami-whatever, something mm-hmm. like that, at blogspot.com. And on the blog this week, two new pen reviews. Yay. So if you've been waffling on either the Edison Herald, which let me tell you, is a fantastic pen, or the Twisby Micarta, which is also a very nice pen, you can take a look at our reviews, on the site and, it'll help you. Hopefully, it'll help you make a decision. So, that's what's going on around the web, and
all around the country.
Around the country, yeah. So let's talk about. I know we're actually only in October, but let's talk about the pen show calendar for 2013.
Scary is the word that comes to mind. We sat down a couple nights ago and decided it was time to drop the schedule for 2013 pen shows. This year, 2012, we had 8 on the schedule, and we knew we wanted to add, you know, one or two more for next year, and that's not so bad.
Yeah. As the year progressed, we have been kept mentally adding shows. So, you know, one show would come up and we'd be like, oh, you know, maybe we should go to that next year. So we finally decided it's time to sit down and write them out. And we even added a couple more at the last minute.
Oh, my God.
So next year, I guess we're going to do lucky number 13.
13.
On the schedule, which actually only leaves one show in the United States that we are going to. Which is going to be Long Island. Although I've been kind of lobbying for it. I figured if we're going to 13, we might as well go to all of them.
What the heck?
You know, so it doesn't double up at all. But just to give you a quick overview, the first one of the year is going to be Philly, January 11th to the 13th. This will be our first one.
Yep.
It's a Burt show.
So you know it's going to be good.
Yeah.
Run well, organized well.
Yeah, we're looking forward to it first time. And then this will be, what, in February, 14th through the 17th, so Valentine's Day.
Ooh.
Weekend. This will be my first time. Lisa, you've been...
I've been a couple times.
A couple times.
Years and years ago.
Los Angeles.
Watch out, LA. Here we come, baby. Hollywood right here.
Yeah. March 1st through the 3rd, Baltimore.
Awesome.
It was our first time there this year. It was really, really a good show.
And what a cool hotel.
Yeah, cool hotel. I mean, there's, you know, and again, it's a Burt show. And
Burt Oser of Bertram's Inkwell.
His shows are great. I mean, he provides breakfast for the dealers. And I mean,
that was awesome.
Just super shows. Then the next weekend, March 8th through the 10th, head down south, y'all, Little Rock, Arkansas, to be with, we have many, many good friends down there.
Love it down there. One of my favorite shows. It's probably the only time of year I get to see my girl crush, Shannon.
Yep. The Padillas, Mike and Tim Beiler, all sorts of people.
Mike DeSilva.
Yep, yep.
They put on a great show, and they're just so much fun.
Yep. And it's getting bigger, too. So
it is.
We expect it to be even better than it was this year. Yep. That next weekend, I think, after Little Rock is when Long Island is it not?
Yes,
so,
it is.
We could squeeze that in. But if we don't, we're going to wait. And the new addition at the last minute, April 11th through the 14th, Atlanta, Georgia, we went.
In 2009?
Is it going to be 4 years now?
Yeah, we went in 2009. It was our first show back on the circuit together.
I have pictures of that show somewhere.
It's so lame.
It's so cute.
Not the show, but we were lame.
It's so cute. There's like, we have like 10 pens.
Yeah, we have like a handful of paper, a couple desk sets. I mean, we barely. Cases.
Yeah.
We faked it to fill one table.
Yeah.
And now we're hard pressed to get less than four. Onto less than four.
Yep. So that's going to be, I think that'll be a good show.
Yep.
And as I recall last time, there were two rooms, which was a pretty good size. And who runs that one? That's Jimmy?
I think so. Jimmy, I don't recall. It was Jimmy for a long time. It very well may still be. But the Pen Club down there is very active, and they deliver lunch to your table.
Oh, they're super.
You know, do you want turkey or roast beef sandwiches? And they give mm-hmm. you choices of sodas and cookies or something, and totally out of the blue. It was really nice.
Super. It's another example of you know, one of the ways you should run a pen show. You know what I mean?
Yep. And that started again. It's basically run by the Pen Club.
Awesome. Awesome.
So strong presence down south, y'all.
a few weeks after that, May 2nd through 5th, we're going to be back down to Chicago.
Oh, the wedding show.
The wedding show. Of course, for us, that's the quickest one, the closest one. So we're happy about that.
3 hours, man. 3 hours. That's a great drive.
At the end of the month, May 30th through June 2nd, we'll be back in Raleigh. Terry Mayorder show.
Awesome. Awesome show.
Of course, they have the auction there, which we do love. Auction in Chicago,
you
too.
You love it. Scares me.
Oh, yeah.
Me.
Yeah. And this year, we're also going to do in July, 18th through the 21st. We decided this a while back.
Yeah.
Miami, Florida.
Woo.
And now I haven't been in a little bit of trivia. Miami actually was my very first pen show.
I think mine was too. I think it was mine.
I think it was Miami, I want to say maybe 2000. And that was when it was at the Biltmore. I don't think it's there anymore.
Yes, I was there when we were at the Biltmore.
Were you there in 2000?
I might have been.
Oh my goodness.
We could have been there together, separately.
I was buying Esterbrooks there, by the way.
I remember Deb Kinney helped me negotiate a sale, the purchase of my first what I thought was expensive pen. I bought a Visconti Kaleido.
Oh.
That I loved.
Okay. Nice.
And she negotiated a free little pen case for me. We still have it.
Oh, okay.
Yep. So.
I bought a Dualfold Junior.
That's not an Esterbrook.
No, it's not an Esterbrook. I bought a blue SJ.
Okay.
Or is it a green SJ? Or maybe I bought both. I don't remember. I think I bought both. I bought a red Dualfold Junior, I think from Rich Lott, believe it or not. I remember because the guy had all sorts of parts, so it had to have been Rich. which was actually a little bit of a mismatch. I think it had a streamlined barrel and a flat top, earlier flat top cap. And then I did buy a full-size Schaefer Balance in gray with the nickel trim. I do remember that quite well. And that at the time was the most expensive pen that I had purchased, I believe, and I think I paid $75 for it.
Yeah, you've gone over that a couple times.
So anyway, that's Miami. Looking forward to going back. And then on the back end of that trip, we're going to actually take something that is difficult for us to pronounce called Rustin.
Starts with a V.
Vacation, maybe.
Vacation.
Because
my mom has a house a couple hours north of Miami, and I have a key. I think I still have a key. And so we're going to go and hang with my brother for a day and just sleep in a real bed and unpack and do some laundry and just walk on the beach and like chill.
That's going to be nice.
For a day.
We got, what, about 2-3 weeks then after that to Washington, D.C. Super Show. That's August 8th through the 11th.
Huge, huge show.
Awesome. Awesome show.
Yep.
After that, in the rest of the dates, the remaining shows are to be determined. But then at the end of September, we'll have Dallas.
Love Dallas.
Yeah, another awesome show. Right after that, probably Michigan.
Maybe. That's kind of a last minute thing.
Yeah. And then this year, right after Michigan, was San Francisco. So if they keep the same weekends, it'll be
Dallas,
Detroit, and San Francisco, 3 weekends back to back.
We need to buy an RV. That's it.
Or we need a driver, maybe. A driver and a semi.
Yeah.
And then, of course, to round out the year, one of my favorite shows coming up soon, obviously, in November, the Columbus show, Terry show. And I guess I should mention San Francisco is also a Bert Ozer show as well.
Yep.
So
yeah, Columbus and Raleigh, run by Terry Mayhorder. Awesome, super fun, run incredibly well. Everything goes smoothly. He's just such a gracious host.
Yep.
Always make sure that everything is going well for you. And you've got the auction, the dessert party, there's a pizza party. He's a smart man. He does the dessert party, which includes alcohol, before the auction. He's smart, that Terry.
He is. He's a good guy.
Yeah.
Show. So that's the show schedule for 2013 right now. And then we'll talk next year. We're talking about maybe a real vacation or a honeymoon, maybe in Europe, and we'll add a Europe show in there, maybe.
Oh my God. That is so cool.
Anyway, so, you know, if you're near any of those shows, just highly recommended.
Yep.
Just, you know, take the time and do it. So if you're on the fence, email me and ask. I'll just tell you to go.
Go.
So this week, what's new on the website? Do we have anything new?
We do. We have something couple things.
You're really excited about. That was...
You know, I get to do the ordering, so I get to see some of these cool things that are available, and it's fun when they come in and I get to play with them, and you know, sometimes it's a better experience than others. Well, we got in the new I don't know how new it is, but it's new to us, the Platinum adapter, so that you can use international cartridges with your Platinum, which normally takes a proprietary cartridge. So I don't know if you can see that, but it's a little
It's a really brilliant move, isn't it? You know, we make these great pens, and Platinum makes great pens. They really do. But you know, I don't know why they decided they had to make their own cartridges too. I mean,
well, so that you have to get it from them.
Yeah, but then they make this.
Well, because apparently people were complaining. So you have this, I don't know if you can see, but this little adapter that sticks in there as if it were the cartridge. And then you can use an international cartridge And they even give you one. So that's kind of cool.
Yeah. So
that's exciting.
That's, you know, we placed a bunch of orders this week and we didn't get much in. So apparently
we have a lot of stuff.
We got a lot of stuff coming next week. So, and then there's something else that came in. We got the platinum, but then we had another.
That was the big
little bit of excitement
for the week.
Oh, and no.
I mean, excitement. We got a package of ink in, a big box, and unfortunately, there was a casualty, and one of the bottles didn't make it. I opened up the box, and I was all excited, and one of the bottles of Ottoman Azure, which is a gorgeous, gorgeous color, had broken and exploded and leaked all over the rest of the shipment.
Yeah.
It was bad.
Yeah, so that's what Lisa found when she opened the box. You know, it's a pretty color. It looks good on cardboard.
It's a beautiful color.
And every single Noodler's box, but
yeah, a couple things could be salvaged outright. Somehow they miraculously escaped the flood of Ottoman Azure. Many of the ink bottles and a couple of the pens just need new boxes, which we will be receiving this week. And then some of them didn't fare quite so well. In fact, if I hadn't labeled the top of the bottle right away, the ink that had stained the label just kind of kept creeping up and absorbing up. And a couple of them, I'm not sure you could tell what it is. Maybe if we rinse it and get all the blue off the label, but maybe not. So
yeah,
it was an adventure.
Yeah, I got these pretty much blank emails from Lisa at work, and there's no subject line, just a picture. I'm like, well, what the heck is this? You know, and I didn't look at them at first, and then I looked at them like, oh my goodness.
I just wanted you to share the experience of, oh goodness.
Yeah, and I come home and there are bottles all over the counter. You know, they're on
In various stages of being cleaned and washed, yeah. And my hands are probably still inky. Yeah. Ottoman Azure is a gorgeous color, by the way.
Oh, yeah. we do have a couple of exciting things coming this next week.
Oh, yes.
And the reason I say exciting is because I know one of them is for me.
It is?
We ordered a certain pen for me.
We did?
We did.
Are you sure?
We better have. I've been tracking. I've been tracking the FedEx number.
If it doesn't come.
Oh my goodness! No, I've been tracking the FedEx. We're trying to see if we have FedEx on it, but so we have that coming. But then we also have, we do have a very special something that we have been waiting for. Would it be safe to say months?
Probably.
Probably.
Which one
months.
Are we referring to? Yes.
So keep your eyes and ears open. And what we're going to do is when this special
very
item comes
special.
In, we're going to drop a line out to our mailing list. So if you're not on the mailing list, I highly encourage you to go out there and sign up. We don't send any spam out. It's usually maybe 2-3 times a month that we send something out, no more. So don't sell your email address, none of that stuff. So
yep. Are we doing pre-orders on this no name?
I think we should.
Yeah.
Cuz
they're going to go fast.
Our
fast.
Quantity is
F-A-S-T.
is not very not a large amount that we're getting in, so and then right after we get them, we're going to Columbus, so who knows what we're going to have when we get back. So
yep. Awesome.
But anyway, I guess that's it for what's new on the
web.
Sounds
like a whole bunch of teaser stuff to me.
We're terrible that way.
We are. But we have some cool things coming in, and this way you're going to check back to see what it was that we got in.
Yep. And my new pen is going to be amazing.
And your new pen.
Amazing. Oh, my goodness. I can't wait.
Am I getting a new pen?
You hadn't picked out a Tasha yet, so... I think you were going to get one of those.
Oh, I am going to get a Tasha. I am.
The Burgundy Coral?
The Burgundy Coral, yes. It's absolutely gorgeous.
That would be my choice. Although I like the blue and the black and the olive.
And the green and the purple, yeah.
I don't like the amethyst as much.
Okay, well, there you go.
So I can at least knock one of them off the list.
Take the olive. I'll get the burgundy coral. That way we have testers. That's it, testers.
I don't know, though. That black staccato is really nice. It's a big size.
Well, we can debate this later.
Okay.
When you beg and I say no. I want this one. No. I want this one. No. I want this one. All right, maybe.
But you keep telling me to take the most expensive one, which surprises me.
I figure I might as well just cave early. You have expensive taste.
All right. Anyway. Anything else this week?
That is enough, that's enough, I think.
Okay. Comments, suggestions for topics, use your pens. Write to us at Anderson Pens, P.O. Box 732, Appleton, Wisconsin, 54912.
Or catch us online.
Email is brian@andersonpens.net.
Or lisa@andersonpens.net.
You can follow us on Twitter, twitter.com/AndersonPens.
We're also on Facebook, facebook.com/AndersonPens.
On the web, of course, AndersonPens.net.
Also follow the blog, AndersonPens.net/blog.
And like I mentioned earlier, please join our mailing list for advance notice of upcoming events and pre-orders. Thanks for listening to our podcast. See you next week.
Bye.